excited. They're trying to play that twice. Hello and welcome to another Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Blog Talk Media, and of course, we are presented today by Impact Media. But thanks to Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on each and every week and talk about those Jacksonville Jaguars. Now the theme today, I'm sure you guys read it. You guys seem to like themes, so we're going to keep going with that. The theme today, it's not you, it's me slash us. I'm going to get a little more into that here in a minute. But, of course, we're going to start by reviewing last week's game, which obviously did not play out the way we wanted it to. But those kind of things happen. Of course, the final score was 31-20 Texans over our Jaguars. That puts us at 1-5 on the year, 1-2 at home. At least the win was at home, the other one. That only puts Houston, though, at 2-5, and they're 1-2 away. So, I mean, they're right there with us. And I think we got the edge in a lot of different places. Of course, Blake Bortles, 30 completions, 53 passes. They did play from behind a lot, so that's understandable. And it seemed like his arm can hold up for this, so I'm okay now. I'll allow him to throw more than 35 times occasionally. 331 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I think absolutely 2 of them were his fault, where he tried to force them. He was sacked 3 times for 20 yards. On the flip side, Brian Hoyer had 6 less completions, and math quickly, 17 less throws for 293 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, was sacked once. On the surface, you would say probably Brian Hoyer had the better day. Nah, that's debatable. I think Blake just played his heart out, and I can't fault him, his performance, at least the last 3 weeks, except for trying to force certain throws that have been interceptions. That kind of things happen. As far as rushing, clearly, if T.J. Yeldon's not in the game, we all know the one rusher going to be. That's quarterback Blake Bortles, who as much as, you know, he needs to run and do that sort of thing, he does not need to be our leading nor second leading rusher, which he is pretty much every week. Toby Gerhardt had 9 carries for 26 yards. That may be what he's good for. The returning Denard Robinson had 7 carries for 19 yards. We got to get him more involved and more back in it. So if Yeldon's not going to play, and he needs to be the guy. Definitely Denard, I believe, needs to be the guy. And then, of course, also, Toby can be he can either be a fullback or he can be a goal line guy. I don't know, I'd rather be Yeldon. But I think Denard easing back in. They didn't want to push it too much. And, of course, the Jaguars today promoted running back Joe Banyard to the active roster. Released safety Craig Lawson from the practice squad, and wide receiver Jordan Leslie, and of course, quarterback Jeff Toole were added to the practice squad. What does that mean? I don't know. At least, you know, it's another running back on the board, so that if Yeldon doesn't play again, we have another one, and if not, you know, it's another running back. Maybe this guy's could be a good change of pace. But regardless, I do want to mention Corey Grant's name. They're trying to get him a little more involved as well. How about the fact we kept Arian Foster to 18 carries, 53 yards? Chris Polk for them, who's also a pretty good runner, 8 carries for 37 yards. That's good. I'm good with that. They had 95 total all day. Granted, it was still, 75, 12. 12 more than Jacksonville had, but they actually had their top rushers, and we did not. As far as receiving, I don't know that anybody can guard DeAndre Hopkins currently. He just seems to be going bananas. He had 10 catches, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cecil Shorts had a decent day, 63 yards. And Arian Foster caught 59 out of the backfield. That's not that bad, though. I mean, those are guys you expect to catch. I mean, Cecil always caught when he was here. On the flip side, of course, our leading guy yards-wise was Brian Walters. 8 catches, 87 yards, 6 catches and 86 yards, and a touchdown for A-Rob. Orange Julius, 7 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Guy's getting pretty acclimated. It's good to have him around. I think it's going to take some pressure off of A-Rob and I don't really know what we're going to call Allen Hurns yet. We'll come up with something. But Hurns and Robinson will definitely be open a little bit more. Hurns actually had a touchdown catch as well. There was the fumble by Foster. There was the fumble by Portal, so that kind of evened itself out. Paz had 10 tackles. It's good to have him back around. I don't even know who they give the sack to. Does anybody got that in front? Oh, here it is. They gave half a sack to Dan Scuda and half a sack to Michael Bennett. I would agree. Not disagreeing because it's in front of me and I don't want to say anything otherwise. I'm saying I agree because they both had pretty equal parts in bringing the quarterback down. Now, for some reason, Whitney Mercilus got in the backfield whenever he wanted to for the Texans. That's something we're going to have to look at. It's somewhere on the offensive line. I'm not sure it's the left tackle like everybody seems to think. I'm going to go back and look at some more film, hopefully by next week after watching this week's game. We'll kind of determine maybe what's going on with that. I do like Brian Walters as a kick returner and a punt returner at that. Myers is still pretty decent at kicking. He didn't have any big misses, but then again, he didn't have any big tries. But overall takeaway from this game, I mean, it was 10-7 at halftime. And then open up the third, it's 14-10. You're thinking, all right, this thing's looking really good. And then in the fourth quarter, it's like the wheels fell off. I don't know if they were out of gas or what, but this team just started making the mistakes that they've been known for over the years. I don't know, because this isn't the team from the last couple years. I, for the life of me, don't know why we're still getting the results we are. But one of the things I want to bring up with this, and it's part of the theme of it's not you, it's me, or us, is towards the end of the game, I understand the game's kind of out of hand at this point, as far as, score-wise and everything, but I'm not sure what the attendance started as. But as this game ended, we can easily hear it in TV land. We can easily see the stands, the first, all the lower bowl seats. I didn't see a whole lot of you guys out there. Now, I guess that's easy for me to say. I wasn't even in the same city. Everybody likes to say that you want to get behind the team, you still stand behind the team. And I know I've talked to many of you who still do, and that I appreciate. But if you want to really support this team, stay till the end of the game. It's usually 1 o'clock games. It's not like you got time to still go to the, you can go early, go to the game, still get out in time for Sunday church, to watch the 4 o'clock games, to watch Sunday games, to watch baseball, I mean, whatever you're going to do. If you're going to water ski, if you're going to feed pigeons, whatever, stay to the end of the game. Show this team that you are behind them, because we all know that you are behind them, but it's kind of hard for them to believe that. Here they are trying to make a fourth quarter comeback, and they can probably count on one hand how many people they can see when they glance in the stands. Come on, guys. And I know, like I said, I know the people who stayed. I don't personally know anybody who left. In fact, at one point, I actually thought I saw some people that are good friends of the show here. But, just overall, let's try to hang in there. Let's try to do the best we can. Let's try to support this team and show them. I mean, it seemed like ever since I talked about Blake Bortles, he has been throwing his arm off pretty much and been trying to really make plays. Blake, my advice to you, I like that you're taking chances, but let's make him a little more calculated on the risk. Let's not try to force these, because when every time you've tried to force one, it's an interception. And for some reason, you got this weird habit of right before halftime throwing interceptions, which is exactly what you did again this week. I know you're trying to make plays. I understand you didn't have a running game. You're trying to do the best you can, but you have one of the best receiving corps in the league. I swear, it's crazy. I know a lot of you guys in Jacksonville aren't familiar with the Georgia State Panthers, who is another school that we cover here on Impact Media, but there are so many things in common. You got emerging quarterbacks who can absolutely go bananas and just fling the ball. You have the best receiving corps of your given leagues by far. A bunch of young, fast, accomplished, great-handed receivers. You have issues with the run game, but at times you have guys who step up and absolutely just run amok all over the field in a very positive, very great way. You have defenses that have issues, but that have progressively gotten better and better and better over the last couple seasons. Hell, you even have two head coaches who seem to have the same barber. It's a good look. You guys pull it off great. I'm in no way is that a shot whatsoever. If I could pull it off, I would. But instead, I have to go with the faux hawk, because it's just what works. But there's so much in common. Now, of course, Georgia State doesn't really have kicker issues, which, you know, Jacksonville, if you are listening, maybe you should come up and catch a game. And I'm just saying, don't want to get anybody in trouble. But, yeah, just, you know, overall thoughts there. We need to stay to the end of the game and support them as much as we can. And if you're not there, don't turn the TV off, or make sure to go to some of the events when you can go to them and show these guys you're behind them. You support them. We all know you do. Now, of course, this week's game is the London game. And as much fun as that's going to be, I actually have a friend who lives over in the London area who may be going to the game. If he does, I will definitely get his report about how everything went, because Jacksonville has an amazing fan base over there as well. So any of you guys making the trip from here to there, be careful and have a good time. And any of you guys who listen to us over in London, not only thanks for listening, but definitely have a good time and look forward to meeting as much of Jag Nation as we can send that way. How do I feel this game's going to play out? I think it's pretty simple. Buffalo's kind of reeling, especially their defense is not happy with Rex Ryan's call because he tries to blitz way too much. The Buffalo front four is one of the best front four in the business, and yet all they're told to do pretty much is block and open up lanes for the linebacker. Now, linebacker's pretty good, I'll give them that. But you got to use what you got. It's just not a good scheme. It's not working out for Buffalo. That's why they've kind of went into a tailspin, nosedive here lately. And their offense hasn't been doing exceptional either. But I think that's because Tyrod Taylor hasn't been healthy. We'll see if he plays. He thinks he's going to play this weekend. We'll see. Three keys to the game as far as beating Buffalo in London. That is a home game for Jacksonville. Three keys, I believe, is to, I think you got to establish a run game and get those guys trying to come through, which is going to open up Blake to throw it to Julius or Alan Hearns or A-Rob or Yeldon out of the backfield, maybe Toby Gerhard, anybody. Doesn't matter. Walters, I'm good with that. He throw it to himself for all that matters. So it's going to open it up. Key number two, you got to win the turnover battle, and that includes you, Blake. Let's try not to throw as many interceptions. Like I said, I understand you're trying to make plays. You're trying to force things. Don't force things. If the throw's not there, don't make it. I'd rather you throw it out of bounds. I'd rather you scramble for a couple yards. Whatever you got to do. And then key number three, I think you have to pressure whichever quarterback they're going to send to, or start, I guess. Pressure whichever quarterback they're going to have. If it's Tyrod Taylor, I want to keep him in the pocket, because even though he's a pretty good pocket passer, I don't want him running around. He's got the ability to run around a little bit. I don't want him to do that. If it's anybody else, force him out of pocket and force him to run around a little bit. Be either way, that's my three keys to the game. Like I said, put pressure on the quarterback. If it's Tyrod, you want to keep him in the pocket. If it's not Tyrod, you want to force him out of the pocket. You want to win the turnover battle, which includes Blake not throwing a couple interceptions, especially one right before the halftime. And then, first thing I mentioned, establish some sort of run game where it will, I mean, I don't care if it's every play, if you, for the first four, five, six plays, you do nothing but run the ball. Because this line, I believe, can open up some lanes. I have faith in people like Luke Jokel and all those guys. And I don't have a problem with them. I think they're going to get better. I think once we get them absolutely healthy, it'll be great. As far as, you know, the it's not you, it's me, I wanted to elaborate a little more on that. Talked about attendance. What about the faith in Dave Caldwell? I have faith in him to continue to do the things he's done. When you look at, just from a roster perspective, from the time before he got here until the time he's been here now, in just a couple years, I like what he's building. It's taken a short while to do some things. You know, there's been some injuries, some issues, some just quite trying to find the right people. It's not just getting the right people on the bus, it's getting the right people in the right seats on the bus, and I think we're slowly getting that together. I think they're just a couple pieces from really turning the corner. Not to say they can't win more games, because I do believe they're going to win more than one game from here on out. I still believe that they can win 6, 7, maybe 8 games. It's a little harder now. They're a little further behind the eight ball, but I still have the faith in them. And I have the faith in Dave, and I have the faith in Gus. Like I said, I don't think they're going to get rid of Gus, at least till the end of the year. I mean, you never know how things are going to play out. Chad Kahn said earlier that, you know, he's pretty much hinting towards he's not going to get rid of him. I think Gus is going to be okay. I think they're going to let him see it to the end. As far as his replacement being on the roster, that's usually the easiest way to do it until the end of the season, if it were to happen midseason. Other people say Doug Marrone. Probably where they would go if they do it. Doug Marrone is definitely qualified, but then you have to get somebody to do what he does. Makes it a little harder. So I really think Gus is okay for now. If they were going to do it, it's going to be after the London game, because then you get a bye week, so it'd be, you know, roughly 13, 14 days. So you'd have to play again. You can get acclimated to the new guy. It worked for the Dolphins, but the Dolphins and Jaguars are two completely different things. The Dolphins need a change. Jaguars are good. You guys agree with me on that. I do believe they're asking too much from Blake Bortles. Just allow him to play his game. When he does, he throws for over 300 yards. When they're asking so much that they are now, that he's trying to force these throws. We've talked about it. The debut of Julius Thomas was nice. He had the first touchdown as a Jaguar. I believe there'll be many, many more, especially now that Blake's getting a little used to him. There's no real pressure, no real pass rush, which is something they really have to maybe change up the scheme. Maybe, you know, if you're on the left side of the line, move to the right side. Just swap around some different things. Maybe tackles become ends, ends become tackles. You know, video game type stuff. If you're not getting results, you flip something around. Dan Scuda, by far, is one of the best pickups they made. He is an absolute beast and a terror in a good way for us, bad way for everybody else. On the field, so Scooter, you just keep doing what you're doing. There seems to be no real rush game without T.J. Yeldon. That's something they got to work on. Cinderic Marks returned. That was a good thing. The first half was real competitive, and then the second half kind of trailed off a little bit. I don't know if there was some injuries. Or I know some people got banged up. I'm not sure what happened, but the second. It's just all the way up to like 5 minutes to go was finally when you saw the fight come back in them, but by then it was a little too far out of reach, I think. Gus was quoted as saying earlier this week, and I know we're hitting you here on a Wednesday, earlier in the week, he says that he believes in the guys in the locker room. That's a good thing. A handful of coaches don't believe in the people that are in the locker room. He believes in these guys because between him and Caldwell, they put them there. And they like all these guys. These are likable guys. If they weren't, they got rid of them. Or sometimes you're just expendable, you're odd man out. Mercedes Lewis was asking fans on Twitter to support the Jags. I think he was kind of seeing what I saw was, now granted, when there were people in the stands, you guys were rocking the place, you guys were loud, you could hear it through the broadcast. They kept having to adjust their microphones, which I thought was very funny, because you guys were so loud, which is a good thing, it is your right. And it was very funny. They kept adjusting their microphones in the booth so that we could still hear the guys talking. But that's awesome. That's what we need for four quarters, or if it goes to overtime longer than that. For four quarters, we need to hear Duval. We need to hear him loud. It seems like Bradley and Blake Bortles disagreed at the press conference, and I don't know, it's just a simple phrasing of the question of I believe it was Bradley who said that the team was really pressing and aggressive, and Bortles said the opposite, or it was the other way. One said one said the other. I think it all depended on the half, because in the first half, I think they were pressing and aggressive, and then the second half, like I said, not so much. You know, if Marquise Lee, who was out with a hamstring injury, if he misses time, it seems like Brian Walters is able to step in and more than take over. It'd be good to have Lee completely healthy at some point, but the way it's looking, maybe we should just go with Walters for a while. And then, of course, the two main injuries, Allen Robinson injured his leg and Julius Thomas injured his rib. I believe they both practice. I know they're both going to get on the plane tomorrow to go. So, you know, I think everything's going to go good from there. My last, you know, I gave you the three keys to the game. As far as this game in London, I'm going to say, Jaguars 30, the Buffalo Bills 20. I feel 20. 30 of 20 is what I feel. It's going to be a Jaguars home game in London. 30 to 20, though. I'm going to go 30 to 20 on that. I think Bortles is going to have a great day. I think his number one target is going to be Allen Hurns. But I do think that Orange Julius has two touchdown catches on it, as well as A-Rob having a good day. Leading rusher, if Yeldon plays, obviously Yeldon. If it's not Yeldon, maybe Barnyard is. That'd be cool. But I think Jason Myers is going to hit at least a 45-plus yard field goal. And Bortles is only going to have one interception, and it's not going to be in the second quarter right before halftime. I think it's going to be either in early in the first or early in the third. And I really hope he doesn't throw it at all, but I have a feeling it's going to be one because that defense is pretty good. So let's just protect Blake, and I think we can win this. So that's going to do it for me this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back on Monday next week, I promise you, to talk about this Jaguars win in London. And then we'll talk about some fun things. Maybe we'll get a guest or two in next week. And we'll see you guys next week.